Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And I am the big O, Jerry Ostrowski. She is my sister from another mister. She is Sarah Christine down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And as always, it's Wednesday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. It's time once again for Lions of Gain here on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. And just kind of going to bring to you a wrap-up show today, just a little bit about what we thought about the season, talk about what we expect coming into the offseason and some things about the roster. But you know, Sarah, before I turn the floor to you, I have to say, in the words of the great Robert Earl Keen, the Texas Red Dirt crooner that he is, a line from one of his songs, probably his most famous song, "The road goes on forever, but the party never ends." And I don't know if there is a better way to describe Bills Mafia and those that support Buffalo Bills football.
Is it a party though? Is it a party? I don't know. I think we make it a party for a couple of months and then we get knocked back down into reality and then we try to get back up, you know, come September. But
yeah, I mean, obviously a very disappointing outcome in the divisional playoff game. Bills lose by 3 to the Chiefs. We can talk a little bit about that if you want to. Hey, if you're watching on Facebook, you're on X, the app formerly known as Twitter, hop on over to Facebook, or not Facebook, but hop on over to YouTube. And jump on in the comments and let us know what you're thinking. We've got people over there already, as always. Richard Rush, a huge supporter of the show. Let's talk.
Yeah, Robbie's in there.
Exactly. Yeah. So hop on over, jump in the comments. I don't know how long today's show is going to go.
We'll see. But, you know, I know you had surgery. you had surgery last couple of weeks, you know, last week. And I was sick for 2 weeks in a row. I had no voice. Most of you that know me could probably tell I'm still struggling a little bit. So I had laryngitis for like 2 weeks straight. Everybody at the Bills at the tailgates were cracking up laughing at me because, you know, the more whiskey I drank by the end, I kind of had a little bit of a voice. But no, coming in there in the each day, it was definitely funny. You know, they were like, "Let me get you a piece of paper to write everything down," because no one understood me. So, and for someone who likes to talk a lot, it was definitely a difficult 2 weeks. But I'm getting there little by little, getting back. How are you feeling with your surgery?
Well, for those that don't know, I had my second knee replaced on Wednesday of last week. Today was 1 week post-op, and it's been good. It's a much different experience than last time, a much better experience than last time. And this knee probably, at first, maybe we thought it'd be a little more difficult because I did have a plate in there from 20-plus years ago when I broke my leg in the preseason against the Eagles. But they were able to take the plate out with no issues, put the knee replacement in, and get me sewed up. And other than a bunch of bleeding the night I was in the hospital, just, you know, those
turning into
holes.
The Bionic Man.
Exactly. So I hope I run as fast as a Bionic Man, believe me. But, you know, I expect to have a great outcome just like my other one. And, you know, 53 and new treads on the tires and things will be good. But
I told you you're going to be blocking for Josh this coming season.
I really like sitting in the living room. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, because I was going to ask you, I know we want to get into some other stuff and we'll talk a little bit about the game and the fact I'm more interested in just how was the tailgate scene? How was the pregame scene? I know the stadium was clear. Were they able to get the surrounding, you know, private lots and those things cleared out? Was there an issue really? Was it hard to get in and out? How was that experience?
The Pittsburgh game was a lot worse. And that was the game that was pushed the day. to have it Monday night. That was to me a lot worse than the game against Kansas City. To be honest with you, what the fans did that came in that was paid the $20 an hour, whatever it was for them to come out and shovel the stands. I mean, the stands were ridiculously clear. I mean, it was right. Just such a good job. And shout out to my friend Andrew, if he is listening to this, for going to my seats specifically and making sure it was clear. Mm-hmm. And this, I was the only two seats in the row that were actually cleared off. The whole row at the ground was cleared off, but my seats were cleared off too. So thank you. Shout out to Andrew.
Bougie Sarah showed up for the divisional game.
It gets bad when, especially right. when the Pittsburgh game, we were standing on, you know, like almost 2 feet. No, yeah. it was, you know, like you would jump up to, and then like you would like break an ankle at the same time. It was
right.
It was terrible. So I'm glad.
Well, I was highly concerned, and I don't know how you did it because you're down on the first or second row. The people basically getting on the steps and just riding the slope, you know, not even walking down, just getting on their butt.
It was like that for us too, getting down to the first row. So I'm first row right behind the bench. So there's 42 rows in that aisle or in that section. So I have to go up, you know, 41 rows. And it was pretty much like it would have been better to sit down and just slide the whole way down. Bills Mafia, you know how we are, though. Everyone's putting their arms out. So you're holding on to, because there's no railings either. So, right. you know, everyone's putting their arms out to hold you the whole time. You know, the woman in front of me, she must have at one point, because we did go up for halftime for the Pittsburgh game, just because I was so cold and I needed to thaw out. She fell three times on her way down.
No, I mean, that's not funny.
And she was laughing her ass off because she was drunk. So she was wearing her liquor by the end. But yeah, I'll be honest. I busted my butt on the way down. But there was so much snow, you didn't feel it. So the first time down, I realized what not to do. So the second time down, I was a lot better. But yeah, it's scary. I don't understand, to be honest with you, why, and we'll get into the game a little bit in a second, but I don't understand why they don't just get a couple of snowblowers that fit down the aisles, and they're able to just kind of walk around and snowblow down to the next, and just keep on doing it. And then once it all gets on the field, they're hauling it out. I know it might take a little bit longer, but it would get the snow out of there quicker. You know, or I joked, you know, walk around with the flamethrowers and melt all the shit.
I actually agree with that. And I apologize if I seem a little bit far away from the camera, but I got to keep my leg kind of straight. So I'm a little bit further away, so I'll lean forward sometimes. But no, I agree with you. I know that Minnesota has those snowblowers or had them. They showed them. I think it was Minnesota. They showed them.
Green Bay has them.
Green Bay has them. That's it. Green Bay
showed a lot of pictures of that. So,
but I don't understand the people that were complaining that they were paying $20 an hour for people to come in and clear seats. I mean,
some people think $20 an hour is decent, especially if you're 18 to 22 and in college and stuff. Other people just looked at it as like, hey, it's a good time. I get to go hang out with other Bills fans and have fun. But I get it. Manual labor is a lot of manual labor. And you're taking the risk of driving into the stadium in that, you know, in the snow and stuff. So I can see why some people want to do it. I know at my age,
they wouldn't do it. I wasn't questioning Sarah why they would do it. I mean, it's their choice to do it whether they want to or not. My problem was why people were complaining that the Bills were having people come in and shovel. It's part of it. It's been going on since I played. Back when I played, it was only $10 an hour.
If you figure it out, if it's $20 an hour, how many people they're paying over how many hours they're paying, it's over $100,000+ for the to shovel out that stadium.
Right.
So it's absolutely ridiculous. That's why I'm like, why not just buy, you know, a couple dozen snowblowers and have your facilities team do it. Like, I just don't get it. So maybe there's more to it that I don't understand. But I think it's kind of crazy that they, you know, that they don't. But the game, on the other hand, you know, I will say I kind of, and I think I watched a few minutes of Hump Day today before I had to get ready for this show. But I think Jay Spence said it kind of perfectly, kind of numb to it. We've been doing this for, you know, 5 years now, like kind of numb to it. So I didn't react the same way as I normally do. But it kind of just like after 13 seconds, I haven't watched the game. I have no interest in rewatching the game right now. I'll get there, but you know, usually I drag it out. This year, you know, I started packing up a few of my things and you know, rearranging a few things, so I'm not literally drowning in bill stuff all day every day. It's just I feel a little numb to losing kind of the same way every year, and I hate to say it, but it's been our defensive, you know, it's been our defense's fault in the, you know, and special teams in our playoffs. So, you know, looking forward to trying to figure it out because, you know, and I'm not discounting what happened on offense because I think Josh was as good as he could be. I don't think he had anyone else on the same level supporting him. So I have been critical of Josh throughout the season when it's needed. Stephon Diggs is my favorite player on the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if I've said that enough. He is my absolute favorite player on the team. Maybe that's why I defend him and his, you know, antics and comments and stuff like that all the time. You got to catch those balls. You got to, you know, you're the number one wide receiver. You can't have balls thrown to you and have them literally right in your hand and dropping that stuff on, you know, a divisional playoff game. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into it. I'd like you know, to hear what your thoughts are. I know we both had a couple of weeks to kind of simmer down, which is good because you didn't want to hear from me the day after.
Well, you knew, Sarah, that as soon as the game was over that there was going to be a crowd that blamed Sean McDermott. And it was McDermott's fault, and McDermott needs to go. Sean McDermott did not lose that game for him. Then you were going to get the crowd that, you know, it was Josh's fault. Josh didn't play well enough. Josh should have hit more open receivers. Josh should have whatever. If you watch that, if you were a person that said the reason the Bills lost that game was because of Josh Allen, you didn't watch the game. Okay, Josh didn't lose that game. The reason the Bills lost the football game is they could not stop the run against the Chiefs. When Patrick Mahomes throws the ball only 23 times in a game, that's an issue and it's a problem. And the Chiefs were able to run at will. And I think my biggest thing, because I always go back to this, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear it because the game has changed nowadays, the way we support teams. Everybody had a favorite player back then, but the fervor and the obsession with individual players nowadays, it's much different than it was back in the day. Like, for instance, the Josh Allen fans, it's never his fault. You know, dig, all that stuff. The fact of the matter is this, and when I look at the Bills roster and I look at the Chiefs, and what I'm about to say does not mean that I don't love who the Bills have, but this is the cold fact and the cold reality of it. The Chiefs have the best quarterback in football. They have the best head coach in football. They have the best tight end in football. They've got two Pro Bowlers on their offensive line. They got one of the best, if not the best, young running back in the league. And they have a defense. Well, you can do all you want, but Pacheco doesn't drop balls and easy touchdowns and fumble the ball.
I don't think he's one of the best young. I disagree with you there, but go ahead.
That's fine. They're going to the Super Bowl. And then you look at their defense.
That doesn't support your claim.
It doesn't?
No, that he's the best young running back.
He's one of the best, if not the best young running back in football. That's your opinion. You don't have to agree with it. That's the way I feel about it. Their defense played lights out all year. Some of the best players in the league, like Chris Jones. Okay? When you look at the Chiefs, they found a way to get through a tough stretch and tough times with receivers who weren't playing well, just like we did. And at the end, they're able to get one guy, Rice, to develop to where he was able to take some pressure off on third down from Mahomes and make completions and do all that. Right now, the Chiefs are just a better franchise. I mean, I don't know if I say better franchise, but a better football team than we are. You know, we're in offsides from losing against them twice this year. But one thing I will say is this. I cannot respect them. Okay, they can win 10 Super Bowls. They can win more Super Bowls than the Patriots. They can do whatever. I can't respect the Chiefs. The way they behave, the way they piss, bitch, and moan, the way they cry. If you are a dude, be a dude, okay? You shouldn't have to whine and complain. It's like the 90s and the early 2000s when the Cowboys were on their stretch, the Patriots teams. You can say what you want about Tom Brady. I didn't like him either, but he was a dog. And they went out there and they beat you, and then they got in the team bus and they backed the bus over you on the way out. And the Chiefs are not that way. And that's my thing about them that I will never respect until they change that aspect of who they are. But when you look at that game, I just really believe, I mean, yeah, Bass, you should know the wind directions. You should know what's going on. Christie always had an advantage in that stadium because he understood the wind, understood the wind of it. But you gotta stop the run.
All that. Yeah, I don't even think it was
you gotta stop the run.
All that windy in my opinion. I'll agree they have the best quarterback in the league. I don't think the gap that a lot of people are starting to say that there's a huge gap between him and Josh. I don't agree with
that. I didn't say
that. No. I'm saying on Twitter the narrative is there. It's you know Mahomes and then you know .. and then you know everyone else type thing. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I think Josh is the second best quarterback in the league. And yes, I'm putting him right now, you know, in that second category. Burrow to me is right there as well, but there's still a but. He has been injured two of his four seasons. Yeah. And you know, your best abilities, your availability, and I haven't been able to see that to be able to have him consistently be considered the second best quarterback in the NFL. He also has the best wide receiver room in the NFL with three great wide receivers from wide receiver 1, 2, and 3. So, and he's got 1,000-yard, you know, rushing running back. So, you know, I love Burrow, whatnot, but I would not put him, I wouldn't bump him up yet. Regarding the Chiefs, though, the rest of the Chiefs, I'm going to say, you know, you're right about Andy Reid. I've said that as well. I think he's the best coach in the NFL. I think the two best coaches in the NFL are in the Super Bowl right now. And, you know, Travis Kelce is, you know, the best. He might be the douchiest tight end, but he is the best tight end in the NFL as well. The rest of what you said, though, I have a little bit of an issue with. I don't think the best team won. Against, you know, the Chiefs and the Bills. I honestly think our offense, when it's working, is better than their offense this season. Their defense stepped up and our defense couldn't. And that was the problem. I honestly believe if we played the same Ravens team, we would have destroyed them. All things equal and how they played that game, how Lamar played that game, we would have destroyed them. So I don't think that the Chiefs were the better team. I think that they played the better game. And unfortunately that's why it's any given Sunday. And you know, the NFL, it's not best of three games or best of five games or best of seven games. Unfortunately, it is the one and done. And if you don't win the game, you're out. So it's whoever the best team is that that shows up in that game. That's why, in my opinion, not the best, the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl every year. It is the team that showed up when it needed to, and sometimes the luckier team wins the Super Bowl, or at least gets to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm ready to close the book on 2023. I will tell you, it's hard because when, you know, when we were 6-6, I was just like, you know, let's just get over this season and, you know, let's start thinking about next. And then we went on the freaking win streak and you know, puts your hopes up and gets y'all ready to, you know, to envision the postseason and a Super Bowl. And we have, you know, a lot to look forward to next season, but we also have a lot of question marks for next season. So we talked about it a little bit earlier today. I'm going to put it up. We have 22 players entering free agency. Some of them are pretty big names. Obviously, Gabe Davis, Micah Hyde will probably retire, in my opinion. Daquan Jones, AJ Epenesa, I think, is also a big one. A lot of these were, you know, the 1 year, you know, deals. Dotson's going to be a free agent. Taylor Rapp. We have a lot of free agents that were significant in whether or not they were a depth piece or a starter. They were significant to the Bills this season. And we were in pretty much cap hell. So I know if you have turned on Twitter or, you know, any type of Facebook, TikTok, whatever, you're hearing 50 people try to explain the salary cap and kind of, you know, break it down. If someone decides to go and take the top 8, 9, 10 contracts and restructure them all, and that's what they're doing to get us out of cap hell, please tell them to not do that ever again. I've seen a couple. I do not see us restructuring certain people like Von Miller. I think that we would, in order to restructure him, it's going to put us in cap hell even more down the road. We can kind of get out from his contract next year without being hit too hard. So I don't see us restructuring him. We will restructure Josh 1000%. And that'll be about, if we restructure him all the way down to the league minimum, then it'll be about $23 million that we would save there. And I do believe we are going to restructure Stephon Diggs and he will be here for another season, possibly two. If we restructure him, I feel like he'll definitely be here for two. That might make some people happy. It might make some people mad. The alternative to cut him is ridiculous. I don't think you're going to trade him to get anything of any type of substance or anything at this point at his age. You know, but everyone's like, yeah, but if you do a post June 1st release, then it, you know, it gets pushed to next year. It does get pushed to next year, but I don't, and we do save a significant amount of money this year. I don't think it offsets enough. I really don't. It's still too much money to lose. So the people saying that we're going to cut Von or cut Steph, I would never say never, but I don't see it happening. So, kind of what, you know, I just wanted to go over is how important this offseason is going to be. We do have a lot of room to make some maneuvers. And before we enter free agency, we'll get more into like real depth about, you know, numbers and, you know, what we can do. But personally, I see us, you know, extending Deion Dawkins. I hope we extend Rasul Douglas. I think we will. Granted, the guy's 28, 29 years old. I think he's 28. But he still has, I'm sure, at least a couple good years left. So he has one more year on the contract. I think we might give him another year or two and extend him. And then Taron, Johnson, he not only deserves a raise, I think he's going to get one. So I think we'll extend him, give him a little bit of a bump, but at the same respect, we save money this year because we can kind of prorate it out as a signing bonus. I think the things that are going to make people unhappy, I don't think we'll re-sign people like Tyler Medikovich. I don't see it happening. We're not going to spend that elite amount of money on pretty much special teams, you know, players. But Mitch Morris might also be a cut candidate. I don't think you're going to replace him for the amount of money that we would save. Or it's going to cost the same amount. So why not keep somebody that's already in the system? But I do think that they could look at it as, you know, trying to renegotiate his contract. Hines is another one that I think we could probably renegotiate his contract. It'll either be him or Hardy, where we kind of, you know, take a look at their contracts and try to save some money there. It's about the same amount of money for both if we, you know, renegotiate their contracts. I don't see the need of keeping both players on the team if most of them are going to be, if, you know, they're going to be solely for special teams. But that, you know, good $3, $4 million we can save there by, you know, kind of asking one or both of them to take a pay cut. I'm going to say one of them and then the other one's going to get released. Again, I don't see keeping both. But with all that being said, I know it's all very long-winded. Even though we're about $51 million over the cap right now, I think with some restructures, some extensions, and some pay cut candidates or releases, we can definitely, you know, move into the positive where we'll have about $30 million-ish to spend. And that's if we still restructure Steph, Ed Oliver, and Connor McGovern. If we don't restructure all three of them, we're definitely restructuring Allen. That's a giving, give me. But if we don't restructure Steph, Ed, or Connor, then it will go down in the availability of money that we have a little bit. But I kind of see that all happening. So if anyone has questions that they want to ask, they can always shoot me a question, you know, question on Twitter. Or I am always looking at the salary cap. I'm always looking at what we're doing, availability of what money we have, ideas of, you know, how to get above and, you know, get the most without handicapping us completely for the rest of the year. So, you know, anyone can reach out, ask questions. If you have any questions now, go ahead. But I kind of wanted to start the off season with, just kind of bringing this up. I did tweet out the other day what it would mean for us to cut Stephon Diggs. So, or, you know, because everyone's, you know, move on from Steph. To cut Steph and to trade Steph, it's literally going to cost us the same amount of money, which is $31 million, I believe it is, off the top of my head. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of dead money. So again, if, when we get closer into free agency, I'll do the you know, geeky salary cap 101 for those people who don't know and want, you know, kind of want to know a little bit more about it. We can definitely dive into it, but reach out if anyone has any questions or anything and they don't want to ask on the timeline, just go ahead and DM me. It's all right.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You know, the thing that's interesting about this list of players, other than Daquan Jones, do you get upset if any of them don't come back?
I want AJ to come back. I don't think that we'll be able to afford him. I think he's going to get, you know, probably $4 to $5 million a year. You know, for, you know, probably 4 years somewhere else. But he'll get more guaranteed money than we're, you know, probably willing to offer. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that there's going to be a team that has, you know, $50, $60, $70 million, that is like, oh, well, if we offer an extra million or two, you know, we'll definitely get him and the Bills won't be able to re-sign him. I think the most you're going to see on any contract, and it might be one contract, is we offer someone $8 to $9 million. We're not going to be making these $17 million, you know. So everybody that's talking about going out and getting, you know, T. Higgins and, you know, I don't see it happening. You know, just kind of throwing it out there, that, you know, we only have about 41 players under contract. And I think we have 16 as a future reserve right now. You know, we got a lot more players that, granted, we only count until from the league, the day the league year starts, which is in March. I think it's March 17th ish this year, through the cutdown day. We only count the top 51 contracts, and that's what has to be underneath the salary cap. So when you add in the draft, and we have 10 draft picks, so you know, you got to add in probably $2-3 million for our draft picks. You still got to factor in for a practice squad. You got to leave, you know, some room for that. At this point in time, you know, we're gonna be doing a lot of those $1.7 million specials that we did last year. It's gonna be a lot of that again. So we're gonna, you know, be finding those older players that everyone hates, that we keep on, you know, we feel like we just keep on getting older instead of younger. But then we hope that we're going to really hit on this draft. We're going to need to. The one good thing is these players are going to actually probably be able to make the team this year. Usually we have, you know, six, seven players that we draft, and, you know, four or five of them make the team because the other two, three aren't there because of the veterans that we already have on the team. This year, it's going to be a little easier to make the team as a rookie. And, you know, hopefully McDermott decides to look at these rookies and put them out there, you know, have them play. I know we saw some, you know, some struggles throughout the year. Dorian Williams had some struggles in the beginning and then a little bit again towards the end. We definitely saw some struggles with Osiris, you know, throughout the year. He kind of hit that rookie wall. I hate to say it, but I think the same thing, you know, has happened with a lot of our rookies. And it happens every, you know, kind of every year. But we're going to need them to step up next year. And that's one thing that I have to say for teams like Kansas City. LA Rams drafted crazy this year. So, you know, we got to be able to capitalize on these draft picks, because we are not going out and making those, you know, $17, $18, $19 million splash plays. Definitely not 20 plus, because we only will have about $30 million, like I said. And that's if we do literally everything I have written down. If we do all of it, then we can probably, you know, have about $30 million. So,
you know, the one thing, you know, you look at defensive ends and say you don't go ahead and AJ Epenesa goes elsewhere. I think they would have a good chance of bringing Shaq back if they wanted to for a depth role. They might be able to get Leonard to come back for a depth role just because of age and those types of things.
I still think he's going to acquire too much. I'll be honest. He said he wants to follow the money, and I get it. At, you know, 31, by the time next season starts, I think he'll be 32. I can see him wanting to follow the money, but maybe he's willing to do a little bit less and then hit those incentives again. You know, we gave him the $1 million 10 sack incentive, then another million if he hit 12 sacks. And so maybe, you know, if we give him another, you know, sack incentive and kind of something he hasn't been able to hit, see if he hits it. And then, you know, then we're on the hook for it. But then it doesn't count for when you have incentives, if it's something that they normally hit, then it's counted against the cap. If it's something that they haven't hit yet, then it's not, the incentive does not count against the cap until, you know, after the season. So, you know, but a lot of them don't hit that, you know, don't hit those incentives anyways. So I think that if he's going to acquire $8-9 million, I don't think we, you know, re-sign him.
When you have situations like this, Sarah, and a lot of times what ends up happening is the Bills are not going to make strong offers to most of these guys early. When you're cap strapped, you're trying to get contracts the cheapest you can get them. Why negotiate against yourself? Let another franchise set the price tag. So if, you know, somebody else wants to offer some, you know, offer a contract, let them offer the contract and see if it's something you can counter. If it's not something you can counter, then you move on. You say, okay, we can't do that, but we can do this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we'll do with both Floyd and AJ Epenesa. We'll say, this is what we're going to offer, what we can offer you. Go explore free agency. And then, you know, give us a chance to still be in the back of your mind if, you know, they don't offer you what you think they're going to offer you. And I think that's kind of how we played it with Jordan Poyer last year. And I think that, you know, he thought he was going to be able to sign somewhere for a lot more. And he didn't get those offers that, that you know, he thought he was going to get. And reality, you know, did he even play up to the amount of money he got? I think his presence out there is worth more than sometimes his play. So, he's going to be making, I think, like $8 million next year or something. I'm trying to look at my thing. So it's a lot of money there too. He might be another person that we talk to and say, hey, you know, would you be looking into taking a pay cut? There's going to be a lot of those hard conversations. Sam Martin, you know, whether or not he's going to be on the team next year, is another question too. We paid him kind of the higher end for punters, and I don't know if he performed as much as we would all have wanted him to this season. I'm kind of looking who else. So if we release Jordan Poyer, it's a $5.7 million savings. So I feel like, you know, the, you know, dead cap is, I think, $2.8 million or something like that. So I think that we'll just try to talk to him and taking a pay cut. We could save, you know, probably anywhere for like from 2 to 4 million ish. If he's willing to take a little bit of a pay cut and then guarantee, you know, just guarantee the money to injury and everything else. Same thing with Trey White. A lot of people are talking about, you know, whether or not they're going to cut Trey White. I just looked at the comments. I didn't realize, that Spence put, am I asking if Jordan is overpaid? I'm not going to get into that right now. Trey White. So he right now is going to cost about $16 million against the cap. So if we were to cut him, we still are paying $10 million in dead money. So a lot of people are talking about, you know, but that's $6 million in savings. Who are you going to go out that's going to impact the team the way that Trey White possibly could impact the team for $6 million. So I think we keep him on the team and kind of ask to renegotiate his salary as well, and try to save some money there. You know, maybe give him something as a guarantee, or put it back as game day bonuses. So, you know, if you're actually out in the field, you'll make all that money back, which is what I think we should do for a couple of the players, you know, the especially the ones that have been injured a lot lately. But he's missed, you know, two seasons from injury. And I hate to say that, you know, especially because they've been terrible injuries, but we might want to do that in order to try to save some money there too.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Off this list, I'd love to have Daquan back. I'd love to have two of the three, either Leonard, Shaq or AJ, two of those three. If this is my
Shaq,
wish
will get
list.
Back for the league minimum. So I Shaq will be back. I don't have any unless they don't want him back. I think Shaq will be back.
So two of those three I'd like to have come back. Obviously, Terrell Dodson. I think he's proved himself.
Yep.
It'd be nice to have him come back. But again, here's what you know, and you talked about it with. Milano coming back, are you going to pay starting linebacker money to a backup, right? So that's where that issue, you know,
yeah, I don't think Dodson's, I don't know if Dodson like went and played the field, you know, played free agency, if he's going to get starting linebacker money. I think that he's still a backup in this league. So I think we'll be able to re-sign him for a decent, you know, for a fair amount. I don't know about Dane Jackson or AJ Epenesa. I think those are the two that I think are going to probably get a little bit more money than we would be willing to pay. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. Jordan Phillips, if we want him back, again, I think it'll be league minimum. You know, Taylor Rapp, I don't think he panned out to be what we all thought he was going to be. I think we all thought he was going to replace, you know, either Micah or Jordan, and kind of be the little bit younger of the you know, the bunch to really step up. He had moments, but I don't know if he was, you know, necessarily what we thought he was going to be. I'd like to bring back Ty Johnson. The only thing is, you know, I don't want to overspend on him, because I think that we can find someone who's also going to be, you know, be able to contribute in the draft. You know, even in a late round. So I don't want to overspend on a backup. But you know, I'd like to have him back. He definitely impressed me this year at times. He also was quiet at times, but, Tim Settle, I think, is going to move on. Puna, I don't think he was a healthy scratch for most of the season. So I think he'll move on. Yeah, I mean, it's going to, like I said, we got a lot of work to do. We're going to have to rebuild this roster. And it's going to be a lot of those 1-year deals that we all hate to see, but we're going to have to rebuild the roster.
I would like to have Rat back. I think he would definitely give us depth needed, as well as a possible starter with.
You might have to start if Micah doesn't decide to, you know, or if we decide not to re-sign him. So.
With the question marks at safety, I'd also like to see David Edwards come back. I thought he was a definite positive when the extra O-line set stuff that Brady brought with him when he became the offense coordinator. Plus, he gives you depth inside, knows the system. I think he'd be a good guy to bring back. I don't think that he'll be expensive. I don't think he'll have a huge there won't be a want list really for him across the league. And, you know, the rest – I think Quentin Morris moves on. And then obviously, you know, everybody will finally get what they want. There's no way in hell that Gabe Davis will be able to come back under these situations with the cap. So unless he loves Buffalo so much that he'll decide to take a really, really small deal, but yeah, we won't see Gabe back in the Bills uniform.
I don't think so either. And you know, it's, I've heard from a lot of the players and, you know, players' families and whatever else, of all the things that Gabe does that, you know, we don't see. So I'm sure the team wants him back. The team is going to miss him. Us as fans just see what he puts out on the field, and I think we get frustrated with it. But I did have a question for you, because I know I kind of touched on Mitch Morris. How would you feel? Because again, I'm going to look up the number again. If we cut Mitch Morris, we save $8 million on the cap, on the salary cap. If we, if we cut him, we save $8 million. I think 3-something. So he counts for a little over $11 million on the cap this year.
So we'd save $5 million if they moved on from Mitchell.
No, they save $8 million.
Okay, $8 million.
Yeah.
How
do you feel about Bates kind of stepping in?
Well, I mean, I think Bates can play center just fine. Is he going to be Mitch? I don't know. Obviously, he did a tremendous job leading that group up front. I thought they were one of the bright spots, one of the highlights of the season was that offensive line group. You know, all offensive lines don't play great every game. They have games here and there that they struggle, but consistency, the amount of snaps the starters played together, I thought that was tremendous. And they hit a home run with Torrence, and they hit a home run bringing McGovern in. So that group I would not want to mess with. And when you have a franchise quarterback that wants everything to be the way he wants it, it's going to be a really tough sell for Bean to get Josh to okay him letting go of the guy that snaps the ball every game. Like I said, I've not seen enough of Bates that I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I think it would hurt the football team, but also know in dire circumstances, you have to do dire things. And that, I guess that's kind of the one vet guy that everybody's kind of put the target on. If they have to do something like that, it would be him. Now, granted, Sarah, the thing that's an advantage to the Bills is his age. If they did cut him, does he retire? Can they go to him and say,
he's only like 29, isn't he?
He has talked about retirement and mentioned
because
retirement.
Of his concussions and everything. But I think the one thing with Morris for me, he already took a pay cut a couple years ago. And you know, gave back money to the Bills so that, you know, he could remain a Buffalo Bill. I hate to ask him to do it again. But I think it's either going to be one or the other. He needs to either take a pay cut or we're going to probably gut him. It's just such a big amount of money. So I did kind of want to touch on what Jay Spence was asking. If I was asking if Jordan was overpaid, I don't know if he heard the whole conversation. No, I'm not saying Jordan is overpaid. I'm saying that if we were to release him, it's $5.7 million that we would save. Versus I think it's only like a million or two in dead cap. So the question is do we ask him for a pay cut, which I know is crazy to ask, but if not, he is probably one of those people that's a cut candidate, depending on everything else that they decide to do with the money. And TJ just put great plan. Ask all your players to take pay cut. I'm not saying that, but I am saying there are four or five players that you can ask for a pay cut. And the reason why you can ask for a pay cut is because if you were to cut them, it doesn't cost the Buffalo Bills hardly anything. It only saves them money. If you don't think they are going to get that same amount of money when they go out into free agency, once they are released, then you hold the cards. So if you don't think you're going to get a new contract, that's going to be $8 to $10 million. There are plenty of opportunities to say, hey, can you, you know, decide to rework your contract? I'll guarantee this amount, which you wouldn't be guaranteed if we released you. But now I will guarantee it. And we save $2 million. You're probably still getting paid $2 million more than you would on another team if we went through that. And you're guaranteeing money. Some of it is usually worked in incentives and everything else. So, it is actually a good plan to ask a few of the players for a pay cut, as long as the Bills hold the cards in doing so.
One of the biggest questions, I think, this offseason, we got a few minutes left before we get out of here, but one of the things that I think would be an interesting question to look at, and it has to do with the secondary, because I think it's one of the areas of need, especially at safety. We're going to have holes at safety. We're going to have depth issues at safety. Is Bedford so good at corner you don't want to move him to safety? Or is Elam so bad at corner you want to move him to safety? Or could he translate to safety? One of those two guys take the pressure off of you because you've already got them under contract on the roster and roll them into the safety situation?
Yeah, so in my opinion, and Trey White's been kind of thrown in there as well as an option, I don't see Trey playing safety. But you know, if I would have looked at Micah Hyde years ago, I probably wouldn't have seen Micah Hyde playing safety. I see Benford out of all of them. I see Benford playing safety the most, but like you said, he's been kind of the most solid at corner. Would you actually do that? But I think it's definitely an option, and, it's definitely an option to look at. Now, Elam, I don't see him, especially because I feel like he has a problem covering in zone to begin with. Like, so I feel like for him to transition over to safety, like his coverage skills would scare me a little bit. I think it's very out of the ordinary for him. It's very different from what he is used to. But now maybe with a whole off season of doing it, and maybe that's something that, you know, he's been kind of working towards. They told him they want to keep him and this is what they want him to do. And maybe it's something that he's kind of been working towards while he's getting healthy. I don't know. But I see Benford there more than anyone else. So that's who I would move to there. But I'm just hoping that they can draft a very good safety. I been looking at things. I kind of, you know, think that we're going to go. I hope we go wide receiver, defensive tackle, and then safety, by the third round. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. I wouldn't even mind switching the defensive tackle and the safety, but and going safety second round. But TJ responded. He put, these are NFL players. They have the biggest egos on the planet. That's why you work with their agents and not the players themselves. So
TJ made the list. He's already on probation.
No, it's all love. It's all love. But, you know.
Hi, John. I want to say hi to John Carmen, former Buffalo Bill, friend of mine. What's up, big dude? Good to see you listening. But no, I think the other thing, Sarah, and one of the things that I want to touch on before we leave is there was one really good positive from the season this year. There was a lot of positives. But the one thing that I think really helped the Bills moving into free agency, especially in a situation where cap management is a must, hitting on your draft is a must, I think Shakir did such a wonderful job at receiver that he took some pressure off of the Bills of maybe reaching early to get a receiver that might not be there at that number one spot. Do they still have to get a receiver early? Yes. But I think Shakir did a really good job.
You think he's going to be wide receiver too? You don't think we're just doing to him what we did to Gabe Davis?
All I said was, okay, let me say this again. All I said was, if the receiver is not worthy of the spot we draft in the first round, it's taken pressure off the Bills of reaching because Shakir has stepped up.
I agree.
We know Gabe Davis is moving on.
It's a very deep wide receiver draft, though. I could see 7 or 8 wide receivers going in the first round based on my initial looks. But, you know, we were wrong last year, too. So, but yeah, I mean, I could see it. I really thought we were going to do wide receiver last year, but I guess, you know, I'm not going to diss on, you know, on our first round draft pick from last year. I think that he's only going to get better. And I'm sorry I interrupted you and picked on your comment.
Well, no, it's been the topic of the night. I mean, we started with my comment about the Chiefs, and it's kind of rolled it downhill from there.
Well, so, you know, it's okay to agree to disagree sometimes.
Well, yeah.
All right. But, so quickly, I wanted to ask you, Super Bowl, do you have a prediction or?
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs.
Wow.
I'm going with the Chiefs because I think the Chiefs play really good team football, and they've got the best head coach, the best quarterback, the best tight end, 2 Pro Bowl offensive linemen, and an unbelievable defense right now. They found a way to win. They found a way to run the football with that strong offensive line, and they found a way to make plays they needed to until somebody knocks them off. I'm going with the Chiefs. And the biggest thing is this, Sarah. If they get a lead like that against the 49ers, and I've watched the 49ers enough now that I know that it seems like they don't start very well, you're not going to expect Brock Purdy to go throw for throw with Mahomes. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to go out there and have a 38 for 40 performance. Could he? Sure. Yeah. But I don't see that happening. So, no, until somebody knocks him off, I'm going with the Chiefs.
Gotcha. I look at the 49ers and I say, no, they have arguably the best running back in the NFL. They have 2 all-pro wide receivers. They have a all-pro, well, he's not an all-pro this year, but tight end. And then they have a very good defense that's had moments this year where they've fallen off a little bit. But for the most part, they're one of the top defenses. I think my only concern is, does everyone show up on the same night? But to me, San Francisco was the team to beat all year. So I'm still going to go with that. And again, I think Shanahan is up there with Reed. Obviously there's a very big historical gap of, who the all time greatest, head coach is, but, I think that Shanahan is the second best coach in the NFL right now. And, I think when you put it down to it though, if it is a close game, or like you said, the Chiefs get ahead, I don't see 49ers coming back. If it's a close game, they better watch out, because you never count Mahomes out. I wouldn't say the same thing, even though Purdy and the 49ers came back last week. I think that was an epic choke job by Detroit. It was very sad for them, very sad for their fans. Because I know that they probably felt like we all did for 13 seconds, like, oh, it's finally our year. This is finally happening. And, you know, halftime, you probably felt good as all heck. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose in the second half. So, I'm going to go with the 49ers. Maybe it's a little salty of me, but no, I just think that they're the better team. I think they are, overall, you know, more well-rounded. And, I just hope that it's a clean game, and I really hope the refs don't factor into any of the outcome. That's kind of what, my biggest hope for the game is. So, but speaking of Super Bowl, so anybody who is going to be out in Vegas, on my Twitter page, @Sarah_Larson, it's pinned up at the top. If you are going to be in Vegas, on Friday, we are doing an event with, Stevie Johnson, and his, you know, kind of sponsoring his, I can't even think of what the word I'm looking for. His event that he does with all of his kids and everything every year. It's HIBF, I think it's called. I'm killing myself right now because I didn't pull it. I pulled it up and then I closed it. But we're sponsoring an event with him. We will be at the event on Friday. It's from 12 to 6. If you register, and that's why I was telling you to go to my Twitter account, the pinned tweet has the Eventbrite. If you go in there, register, it does require a donation. It's a donation of any amount of money. So, you know, use your heart and decide what you want to donate. But every single person that is in your party has to do it. So even if you go in there and do $5, every person has to do their own Eventbrite registration so that they can have an accurate headcount. It's from 12 to 6. A lot of people are going to be there. A lot of, you know, former players, people speaking. Stevie obviously is going to be there. We will be doing a podcast from there. And that is brought to you guys by Picasso's and Ficta, the people who have been with us all season. But I hope, you know, we see a lot of Bills fans out there. I know Bills backers of Austin, I think, are going to also be sponsors. So they're going to be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. From my understanding, you know, like 200 people at this mansion, which is going to be really cool. So once you register, you'll get the address and all that stuff. But look forward to seeing anybody who's going to be out in Vegas. If you're going to be there, tweet at me, DM me, whatever. A lot of events going on during the week. For all the people asking, I am not going to the actual Super Bowl. I'm just going out for all the events. Unless someone wants to donate some tickets, you can, I'll give you my email address and look forward to those tickets if anyone wants to send me any. Because it would be awesome to be able to actually go to the game itself. I've never been. It is definitely a bucket list item. But in order to drop that kind of money, the Bills would have to be in the Super Bowl for me to drop that kind of money. So Anything you want to wrap up? And we're kind of going into the off season, so we'll probably be doing, you know, bi-weekly, maybe once a month, depending on what's going on.
Bi-weekly. When I heard bi-weekly, I thought you meant like two shows a week. I was like,
what? No. Like every other week, maybe even only once a month, depending on what there is to talk about. Obviously a little bit more in March and April, but then by the time, you know, summer rolls around, May, June, July, probably only once a month. I know y'all going to miss us, but I think last year we struggled to find some content at times. And you don't want to get burned out before the season, because obviously the season is long and we've got a lot to do. So, but exactly. Anything else you want to?
Nope. Just props to the Bills for locking up Brady and Babbage. Good job by them. And talked to somebody close to the Babbage situation. And it sounds like if they didn't do that, he was going to the Giants to be DC in New York. Gotcha. So they obviously.
Have you heard, is he going to call plays or is that?
I do not know that, but I know that he has a long time relationship with McDermott and it sounds like that's where he wanted to stay. But I know that if he did not get that title promotion, at least he was probably going to New York and reunite with Dable. So props to the Bills for getting that done. But again, this wraps up another episode of Line to Gain here on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. She's Sarah Christine. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. We'll be back. We'll let you know when we're going to come back. Couple weeks, two weeks-ish. We'll be back Wednesday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, with more Bills talk right here. As always, one love and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.